Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and
we certainly do love our land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. Tonight, I was hoping that we'd have our very own Tommy English here, but unfortunately, he hasn't got no internet tonight, because we wanted to hear, because there was a there was a mini like demonstration yesterday, and I'm going to explain a little bit, but hopefully this week when Tommy comes on, hopefully when he gets his, the internet.
Tell me about it, Stud.
Hey, I was just going to introduce you there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my dear, dear, dear friends. As you probably, everybody knows, our very own Kel Fritzy, the Red Fox blogger. Yes, Kel was fortunately doing me a big favour tonight and signing on the show. So good to have you here tonight, Kel. Bat and ball with me. That's great. Good to have you here, Kelly.
Oh, Jeff, just when I think I'm out, he reeled me back in.
Well, no, ladies and gentlemen,
no, it's my pleasure to help out. Absolutely, honey.
Help.
And yeah, I know Tommy had internet issues, and it's okay. It's all good. It's all gravy, as you know, our friends say over there at you know, other shows. And hey, how you doing?
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a nice couple of days. I suppose I haven't had the two great days. I mean, I've just haven't been feeling 100%. And today, I had people calling me, but I went back to bed today, Kel. I had a bad night last night, and I got up this morning and basically went back to bed, and I just didn't have a very good. I've had a very good day today, you know, and I had more of a lay-in than what I normally would do. It's just that I wasn't feeling well. Hopefully, you know, had a bit of sleep because I knew I had a show to do tonight. So I wanted to be a bit refreshed, and I do feel better for it. Maybe I needed a bit of a lay-in, I don't know. But I feel a bit better now, Kel. You know, better than I was anyway.
So what are you discussing tonight? Do you want me to relate to how my day is going?
would you like to? Yes, go ahead, Kel.
Freya and Dobby Amber got into a fight today.
Oh my God, was you the referee?
Freya won.
Oh my goodness me. They normally do, it's the clause that does it, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to the Red Fox blogger, you know that we have brought in a new addition into the household, and our cat Freya is having none of it at this point, and Dobby decided that he was going to try to make friends. Freya hides in the pantry, and Dobby went in there, and Freya gave him a good swat on the nose. And poor Dobby Amber, he came out crying. He was in tears. Okay, my cat weighs like 7 pounds, okay? And Dobby Amber is 62 pounds, and Dobby came out the worst for it.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing when you think about it. A little cat, the big dog could be frightened. It's amazing.
Oh yeah. Freya is feeling like the cock of the walk right now. She's very proud of herself.
Actually, we've got. I just noticed in the chat room we've got Christian Defence League here, Dave. And he's saying, no problem.
Yeah.
He had a great show on CDL with Cal and Tim and Dave. They all did great. I'm so sorry, Mr. Cal. I must have been in bed.
Fantastic show. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen,
put the
please,
link in the chat
please,
room for me, Cal.
Listen and
archive. I've got, you know what?
Yeah, Christian Defense
I've
League
got,
radio show. It was fantastic, Jeff.
Yeah, do me a favor. Could you do me a favor, Cal? You know my little Skype box? Could you put that in there for me later? Because... Dave, I'd like to listen to you.
Oh, I did for you earlier.
Oh, you did? It's
I
in
think
my
I
Skype
did.
Box, is it?
I
oh,
think
just double,
I did.
Just double it.
Oh, no worries.
You know
if
what?
I did, I'll make sure I get it to you.
Yeah, I'd like to listen to the show, and it sounds like you had a blast today. So that was early one today, wasn't it? It was, wasn't it? It was early one today?
Mm-hmm. It was a really good show. I had a blast. As usual, the 2 hours went way too fast with Jan and Dave.
Well, they always do these shows. You know, that's the thing about when we do these shows. There's so many things that we want to talk about. And we just, you know, 2 hours is very short for some of the things we really want to get into. I just want to relay, I mean, good. I'm glad. I'm just so, you know, I'm gutted that I missed this show because I was probably snuggled up to my pillow at the time. That's probably what it was. Otherwise, I'd have listened to this show. No, I was in bed. I told you, I was in bed most of the day today.
Snuggled up to his pillow. Taking
well,
a nappy.
Yeah, because,
did you get a milk and a biscuit afterwards?
No, I'm just saying I missed it because I was in bed. So, no, I missed 5 phone calls as well.
I'm just imagining you snuggled up to a pillow.
Yeah, it's
sleepy time, sleepy time.
Dave just said we'd love to have you on soon. Dave, I'd love to be on the show.
Everybody knows that I am the absolute incorrigible Red Fox.
All right. You know what, Kel? I've got another issue. You know, when you go to open up the chat room, I've had to open up in a separate window. And I've just noticed our Stang has turned up this evening, so I'm just saying hi to Stang and I'll give them a wave there. And the room's building up very nice as well this evening. Yeah, as I say, Tommy tried to give me a call earlier on to let me know he might have some issues because the internet or something have been cut off or something or other. I don't know, he's got it sorted out. But he called me just about a quarter of an hour before the show as well, or about 40 minutes before the show, let me know that he couldn't get on. So, what's this, Bigfoot? I have a pic that Jeff will like, photo bucket. Let's have a look at this picture. I'm just looking now, Bigfoot. That's what you got. It's not a bloody spider, is it? A spider, Kel?
It's actually very eloquent. No, Jeff. It's very eloquent. It's a very beautiful sculpture.
It's an elephant spider.
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
It's beautiful. You should see it.
Yeah. So my computer is very... Oh, my God! Oh, my God, no! Do you know what? There was something like that in my bathroom that my next-door neighbour had to get, not as big as that, though. Oh, my God, thank you very much, Bigfoot, for that spider. Oh, it's giving me an artifact now. Made of metal.
I think it's really pretty. Oh, Bigfoot,
wow.
I think it's beautiful.
It's in a sculpture at Garden in D.C., Well, I'm glad it's not in my garden, mate, because I'd have an heart attack if I fall down 3 days in my garden. No, it's well, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, they say, something like that, and I'll be running away.
I think it's beautiful.
Well, there you go. You do, Kel.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm rather cruel that way.
Well, we know. But anyway, I'm going to say once again, thank you, Kel, for being with me this evening, being my wingman tonight, and a wing lady. You're a wingman, isn't it?
I'm your wingman. I am not politically correct. I hate this gender differences. I am not a wing lady. I'm the wingman. So
there you go, Kel. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's it. And as I say, thank you so much for being here with me this evening. It's always nice when we're talking about issues. I really, really want to get in and talk about Tom. The demonstration that Tommy had yesterday, the flash demo, and it was at Newcastle. I can now relate to the listeners out there.
Yeah, that's right.
It was
right.
At Newcastle that they did attack our lads, but they sort of come off a lot worse. The main speaker there, people, actually got arrested for saying that the EDL needs to be euthanized. Well, basically,
and
the police
and you know what,
Kirby.
Jeff?
Yes.
I know. And you know what? The man of the hour who can speak firsthand about that is Tommy, and he's here right now. And hi, Tommy.
Hey,
hello.
Tommy, who's that?
Who's
that?
Tommy.
Hey,
buddy. I was just relaying. Tommy, what a day that you had yesterday. You're still buzzing about it as well, aren't you?
I'm still sore as well.
Yes, maybe because all our listeners like to hear the way that your day went yesterday. As I say, I've just told the listeners where you was yesterday at Newcastle. And the response, there's something you need to talk about yourself, the response of the general public, and of course, you're a bit of a confrontation, which was a confrontation. Yeah, Tommy's got some couple of bruises on him, ladies and gentlemen. But maybe you can fill in the details, Tommy. Kel, thanks for letting me know that Tommy was here, because I'm between two. When I go into the studio, I'll come away from the chat room. I've got two things open. I've got to go in one or the other, so it's just like that at this moment in time. But Tommy,
hey,
good to have you here this evening, buddy. I know you haven't got no internet as such, which is, I know you're going to rectify that, or it'll be rectified by...
Oh, I've got it back,
You've got it back, son, have you? Oh, good. That didn't take too long then, really. That was good. They do cut you off very quick these days, though. I know Virgin does it, and Sky does that as well.
I'm trying to get to talk, Jeff. I really am. But I figured out seriously, if she switched to TalkTalk, she'd pay £78.90 a month. So she's going to ring
grief.
Him this week and say, TalkTalk, I can do it this much. I want my price lowered.
That's a lot of money, isn't it, Tommy? Got to admit, I mean, even with, my new fibre optic thing. Kel, I'm going fibre optic on the 28th of September. Five times faster than it normally is. Yeah. I thought, well, you know what?
Yeah,
Kel, it's
modernised, Jeff. He's now got a washing machine instead of a mangle now.
But I thought I would. I mean, I'll keep seeing... You know what it's like, Ken. We used to keep seeing the advert on the telly. You think, well, I need that, especially when we're doing shows and the internet. Sometimes it's a bit slow, but it's guaranteed it. It's five times quicker when you're doing anything. You can upload or download things much quicker. So I thought, yeah, why not? Let's go for it. My package, Tom, is about... It'd be when it's all up and running properly, because I'll only pay a fiver on top of what I'm paying already. It'll only be at the most about £44, something like that. I think I'll be paying at the most. So that does me, and that's with the international calls as well. So there you go. I shouldn't be advertising, but we've done a little quick advertisement, haven't we, Kel?
Jeff is going fiber optic. I don't know. You know what, Jeff? If you're going fiber optic, I might have to get Stanger to help me out with a promo for that. Jeff is going fiber optic. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's Stanger, yeah. I know he'd do a good promo, probably, wouldn't he? He's thinking, I know you could probably do a good promo that. You've probably got something in your mind right now because he's listening. You know what he's like. Maybe we could do something. That'd be funny, wouldn't it, Kelly? But I've got to say, also, I've just got to give a mention for Sue from New Mexico, who I'll see in the studio this evening on a device or phone. Good to have you here, Sue, as usual. Thank you so much.
Don't forget Jeff is there as well.
And the other, that's the Sue from...
Oh, Tommy.
The Sue from New Mexico and the Sue from the UK.
She's got a smile on her face now.
Well, there you go. It's always nice to get a bit of a shout-out. You know, people like that. They like to hear their their names being mentioned. We will do, Tommy. But anyway,
Jeff, I'll tell you something as well. Sue from the UK decorated the whole living room by herself yesterday. Wallpaper ain't plaster in the lot.
My goodness me, do you want to come and do mine, Sue?
Oh, do you want to do Jeff? Yeah, she said she would.
Oh, my God.
Oh, bless her.
Such a
well done.
That you told me about. She'll get that big spider out.
Yeah. My next door neighbour, you know, Elaine, I mean, she does all the, basically, when she does decorating, she'll do the wallpaping and that. She does a bloody good job as well. Yeah, I was going to say, Tommy, we're getting away from what we want to talk about. So I want to really open up tonight and just to get out, because our listeners know that you was going on this flash demo yesterday, Tom. So maybe you'd like to fill in the people some of the things, some of the highlights of what happened yesterday. Go ahead, Tom.
Yep, so the plan was to go to Sunderland originally, but then that was a smoke screen. He was going back to Newcastle, so they thought we'd go to Sunderland. They didn't turn up. We thought what was going to happen, so we thought, hang on a minute, we're going back to Newcastle. We'll go give them a little bit of a surprise. And there was down where the market was, so there's people doing the shopping on market and getting this horrible screams of free Palestine and all the usual palaver they spill out. And we got there, wearing no EDL colours.
Free the Palestinians.
Yeah.
So free the Palestinians.
No, that's it. Yeah, so we thought, we'll let them know where he is. So the speaker's microphone disconnected. The PA system knocked over. The flag stormed out.
It was excellent, though, wasn't it? It got in the way, didn't it?
it was in the way of my... In direction. It was getting generally pushed over. And this horrible lefty guy... with a real thick piece of wood, real thick 2x4, whacked me on the side with the Palestinian flag on the end of it. That's where I'm bruised on my left-hand side, guys, right on my rib. And
very nasty.
I just left it.
And what was your response, Tommy?
What
was your response to this unwashed person who hit you with a stick? What was the response, Tom?
Well, my fist met his face.
Okay. But you was confronted first of all. You was attacked first of all. So really what it was defend. You actually were defending yourself, wasn't you?
That's it, guys. I mean, I'm a violent person, but if someone's going to whip me, then I'm entitled to whip them back.
Well, that's it, self-defence. So, you know, you cracked on, yeah?
Carry
on, Tommy. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you was attacked. You was attacked. You responded, which, like, ladies and gentlemen, anybody responded. Someone hit you with a 3x2 bit of wood. Think about it. What would you do? Stay in there and say, well, that wasn't very nice, was it? No, you'd respond in kind. So, you know, like anybody, I know I would. I know someone hit me with it would. I'd ram it in places where they don't want it rammed. Like anybody.
That's it.
Yeah, well,
anyway,
Tommy, please go ahead.
In front of them. Flags came out, police were all getting pulled. Standing right in front of them. And people in Newcastle walking past, giving these people the two fingers, the middle finger, coming shaking our hand, saying, thank God you turned up. Thank God you're here. And you had people coming to stand with us. And the speaker for these guys...
Well, you mean, what we're UK saying is... ladies and gentlemen, this is what this is what I always like to hear. Actually, what Tommy said, that the local people are not very happy with these. We are Palestinians. We know they're Palestinians. We call them, you know, parasites, but we call them Palestinians. We are Palestinians, and this and that. They say that. Well, it's all cobblers, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? As we all know. And as I say, the local people, most people say, we don't want you in. But carry on, Tommy. That is what the way you looked at it was you had the local people coming and shaking your hand and even joining in with some of the chanting, EDL even, wasn't that? That's the local people.
Yeah, that was brilliant. These people put in a whole new PA system on the back of a van. They have this whole, setting this up right, they all get back on there. So Wendy brought in a megaphone, real powerful megaphone. And we would just shout, you know, off our streets, you terrorist scum and all that, terrorist supporting scumbags. And because the police had us calling off on them, people were walking past training them. And the
they were training them, did you say?
What's that, Jeff?
Did you say that the local people was walking up and having a bit of a dig at them, yeah?
Yeah, and the police were in complete disarray. They didn't know what to do because you had people walking past them, basically swearing at them. Some people pushing them, shouting, get off our streets, now you don't belong here. And police didn't know. Yeah, does call.
And the response of the EDL was, Tommy, I mean, they had that response. And what was the response of the locals to, because I know one of them, who was with his wife and the kiddies, had said, well, keep off, just look after the kids a minute. I won't be a minute. And he went over and confronted one of these lefties, didn't he, Tom?
Yeah. She was in his face with a petition and all that. He picked up the clipboard, he just smashed it, snapped it in half and ripped the pieces of paper up.
and this is, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, this is just one of the locals there. You know, they don't like these people. You know, we go there to actually, you know, demonstrate against these people, little scumbags as they are. And all the times that they protest against them, we've got a reason to protest against them for what they're up and what they're speaking about. And also, Tommy, something that was said, which you told me earlier on, excuse me, what was said, Tommy, their main speaker was arrested, wasn't he? What was it he said, Tom?
Yeah, all the people came through the police lines, guys, come and stand with us, and people outside the police lines clapping us on. And the speaker said, as you can see, those people standing with the EDL, supporting the EDL, need to be euthanised.
That
and the police
seized
in on that. And they arrested him under a section 15, which is the incitement to murder.
Unbelievable. You,
that,
it
guys,
proves
you
that these people haven't got no brains in their heads, isn't it, Tommy? Ladies and gentlemen, that is definitely incitement when you talk about the people that standing with the EDL need to be euthanised. How? Oh, it's disgusting. I'm not being funny. We've seen... what I wanted to expand a bit on, we need to just continue with what we're talking about. So I know you've got a few bruises on you, Tom, haven't you? With this nasty person that give you a slap on your side, mate. But you had other confrontations as well, didn't you? There was another confrontation with the Antifa? Maybe you'd like to share with our listeners.
Yeah, I got a phone call from a friend, Dice, who couldn't make it that day. He goes, hey, Tommy, North East Anti-Fascist put a call out. They're saying they're going to come down and get you. And North East Anti-Fascists, about 10 of them. And two of them turned up and they ran down the street going, off our streets, Nazi scum, saw us and legged it back. Sorry, they were just two of us there, guys. They saw us and ran away.
My goodness me. Yeah, so they didn't have too many of them. You know, the main, we are Palestinian. What was the numbers of them, Tom, altogether, would you say?
There were seven of them. There were seven pro-Palestinians there.
Good grief. Bit sad, isn't it? A bit weak?
well, I think the interesting thing is that for the past few weeks now, there have been a couple of thousand of them at Newcastle, Middlesbrough, and, at the Middlesbrough one on Wednesday, there was about 20 of them. Newcastle was 1,500 last week, and there's been seven of them. Even the local people are saying it's a disgusting protest. It's absolutely disgusting supporting terrorists.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it, Tommy? I mean, these people, you know, are just the same as me and you. When we see things like it makes you so angry. And you can't blame the local people for that response. This is my town, this is my city. We don't want scumbags like you calling the pro-Palestinian, blah, blah, blah. We don't want it. Most people in the same mindset as ours just find it's disgusting, don't we, Tom? And that's just the general public, isn't it? And we've seen that time after time, haven't we, Tom?
Yeah, we were. Anyway, the EDL, we've always had loads of public support. I'm yet to find one day when the local people have said, you're not welcome here. I mean, even though you look at the local UIFs, they're all leftist students who think they can speak for a general population. We don't go to these places for the sake of it. We are asked to go. We are begged to go to these places. I mean, look at Rotherham. You had mums messaging the main page saying, oh, my daughter's being gang raped by Muslims. Oh, you've got to come help us out. We don't go to these places because we don't go to these places for our health. We go to these places because we're requested to go by the public to go. And everywhere you go, you're going to get counter-protested by these scumbags who think paedophilia is okay, who think that being anti-Semitic is okay. That's a disgusting set of people. I even said to those people who were non-Muslim yesterday, your parents and your grandparents would be so proud of you now. Because if you were my kid, I'd take my belt off to you, standing with those people.
Yeah, I've got Eric Carl in the chat saying the TV news might be biased against Israel, but the people ain't. And I think Eric makes a very good point there. Most people that we speak to are very much of a right with what Israel's been doing and the way that it's been defending itself. It is right. It's the right thing to do. We know that Hamas has put these people. They used their own people, women and children, as their propaganda. They're there for their own propaganda. I remember seeing the leader of this Hamas, actually, when there was about 8 or 9 of them was killed. And he was basically almost like Wayman Bennett, like foaming at the mouth. He was over the moon that he's been martyred for the cause. He knew it was a propaganda coup that he's got there. And he was smiling away. He was so happy. You know, this is the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, of Hamas. This is the mindset of ISIS, where they'd rather kill people, his own people, and use it as a propaganda purpose, like we always know they always have done. They've used what we used to call, going back a while ago, Army, a good friend of mine, we used to talk about this. It's called Palavision. There was someone who was lying on the floor. We used to watch it all the time, a YouTube thing, of this guy that's lying on the floor. Right. A couple of minutes later, he's supposed to be dead. A couple of minutes later, he was running along throwing stones again. So my goodness, what is it like walking of Lazarus? Lazarus rising from the grave. All of a sudden he pops up. But time after time after time, it's the propaganda machine. And do you know what? They was very, very good at it. Very good at the propaganda machine. Because look, world condemnation of Israel. That's exactly what they want. These poor Palestinians. Poor Palestinians are the ones who voted Hamas in. They're the ones who put them in power. They're the ones who know what the Charter says about the death and total destruction of Israel and all its people. And, you know, I mean, whatever comes your way, it comes your way. If you want someone in power, your government, who supports death and destruction, and they decide to start lobbing missiles towards Israel, when you get a response back from missile, you get a few missiles come back your way. Why cry about it? If you voted these people, then you should be happy that you're martyrs for them. Isn't it, Tommy? They're martyrs for the cause, aren't they? They want to see they want the cameras love to see children crying. They like to see parents crying. Oh, my, they want to see it. It's good. It's good for the TV. You know, it's good for world consumption, isn't it, Tommy, to totally condemn little Israel, this little democratic country in the middle of darkness out there. You know, and I say, good luck to you, Israel. All what you do. It's good to see that there might be something good come out of these talks. But we know in a very short time...
Jeff, this is how uneducated the left wing are. One of the speakers yesterday goes on the microphone and goes, last year I visited one of the Nazi concentration camps in Spain. When the Nazis conquered Spain in the 1940s, they built 17 concentration camps. I got on the megaphone and went, you lying bitch. There are no concentration camps in Spain because the Germans never even invaded it. And after that, Jeff, she soon shut up. She got off the megaphone after that.
Yeah, some people are so ignorant and naive, aren't they, Tommy? And this is what we find.
That made me so mad.
They should really do a bit of study.
Oh, who could lie about the Holocaust like that? That was sick. I mean, the interesting thing is that in World War II, there was only Sweden, Switzerland and Spain. were the only countries who wasn't occupied. So when she goes, oh, I visited a concentration camp in Spain, there aren't any, because the Nazis never invaded Spain. And when I said that to her, she soon shut up and she got off the microphone after that.
Yeah, well, she embarrassed herself totally. If you've got something to say, you can back it up and you do a little bit of digging to make sure that you ain't going to make a fool of yourself. It's quite obvious that she didn't dig enough to understand what the point is she was trying to make. She just made herself look totally foolish. So, yeah, it's good that you exposed her for what she was, just having something to say, but no facts. Totally factless, isn't it, Tommy? But anyway, what I was going to say is it seems like Cameron, the church, now I've been waiting for this for a long time, and probably the same as yourself, Tommy, and Kel, we've been waiting for the church to speak out about what's going on to the Christians over in Iraq. Over this, I've got to say now, ladies and gentlemen, within this last week alone, I think they're called the Yehudas people, you know, Christians, nearly 1,000, I would say 900 men, women and children have been slaughtered this week by this group of jihadists within a week. Just yesterday, 319 people was murdered yesterday. The day before, there was 80. They give the ultimatum, these Christians. Convert, pay the jizya, or die. That was for the ultimatum. These people believe in their faith, refused to be converted, and died. They paid the price with their lives. And this is what we've all said, that the people with strong faith, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, these people will ever sacrifice their own life for their faith and what they believe in. And they're not going to bow down to no satanic, evil cult, what these people are trying to put upon them. And David Cummings actually said something. Actually, we've had two ministers saying that this is could cause problems, a civilization issue. How many years have we been talking about this, Kel, Tommy, and all the good people out here?
Even before the
many, many years.
Too many times.
We have banged their drum. You
Can
know that, Kel.
Can I interject a second? I've got something here.
Go ahead, Tom.
I've just been given the final dates for the demonstration. Here we've got Bournemouth next week, then we've got Colchester, Downing Street, Birmingham, Bristol and Luton. The Bristol demonstration has been called on my 21st birthday.
No.
Yes.
Good grief. My goodness, would you that girl on his 21st birthday?
Well, I've got the main thing.
Unreal. Wow.
I'll read the dates out now, guys. We've got Bournemouth next week, which is the regional on the 23rd. We've got Colchester on the 6th of September. Oh, that's a regional. Then we've got the national at Downing Street on the 20th of September. Birmingham's the next national on the 11th of October. Bristol on the 1st of November. That's the national. And
is that Bridgeport? Did you say, let's
get
it right, is that Bridgeport, Tommy?
Bristol.
Is it Bristol?
Yeah, Bristol on the 1st of November. Then we've got 29th November at least. That's one of the year.
Wow. There you go. I'll tell you what, this year, how many demonstrations have we had so far this year? Because by the end of this year, we'd have done a good quota of, and ladies and gentlemen, not just talking about nationals, regional demos, but flash demonstrations, which Tommy's also, he could do two flash demonstrations a week, and he goes on a national or a regional demonstration at the weekend, didn't you, Tommy?
Mm.
You done, I think, two flash demonstrations last week, didn't you? Was it the week before you done two in one
three.
Week?
I did three last week.
Three? My apologies, Tommy. it was like that. But that's what I'm saying. Are we more busy this year than was we last year, Tommy, would you say? Would you say we've stepped up a little bit with demonstrations?
I'd say the same amount, to be honest with you, Jeff. I mean, last year we had Leave Big Horrible Slaughter, which led to many, many demonstrations. And then we've got what's happening in Gaza and Israel right now, which has caused lots and lots of flash demonstrations.
Oh dear, I've just had I've got a little what Dave has just said here in the Christian Defence League. He said, you know, Paul Alexander, both Paul Alexander and Jan had the same problem. A virus protection will not let them on. It would not let Paul on the show either. So there is a slight situation there that some people can't get on, especially Paul Alexander, which is actually awesome to have it. So hopefully he can get on a little bit later or so into some virus protection or whatever. but just to, you know, just had a little bit, just see it come up there on the text, sorry. But yeah, as I say, it's going to build up to be quite a busy year we'd have had, isn't it, Tom? It's demonstrations
yeah.
are over.
Well,
I think we've achieved a lot this year as well, haven't we?
We've got to get that one out there, haven't we, for Barmouth. I mean, yes. Because it's right down on the south coast, and because from us coming from the north, it's going to be a hell of a long journey. We might have
it
John
is,
who might drive. He might be prepared to drive the length to and from Barmouth. But if we do get the train, it's going to come to £98.50 for a return. So
oh
either way,
no,
I'm going.
No, Tommy, is it?
Yes, it's three stops. It's one in Leeds, and going Leeds to Birmingham, Birmingham down to Bristol, and Bristol to Barmouth.
My goodness me, that's a fair trek, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, not being funny, you know, that sometimes you just can't do that, Tommy. It's too expensive. Hopefully in the not-too-distant future, well, now we've got the donations and things like that, and we get some funds going, that the good people, some of our lads and that, there might be some money towards them that help them, or coaches or something like that. So that's what we're trying to look towards, aren't we? The good people that would want to be there but just can't afford it. That's what we need. We need coaches. We need mini coaches, mini buses, and maybe £20 here from each person. Something like that. Towards it. It's what we used to do anyway. That's the way it should be done again, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, just make sure I make the check out to Tommy English.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, I'm disappointed we can't see Paul Alexander here tonight, or generally it's... it's all sad when we're missing some people. Maybe there's a virus being stuck on there because it's the EDL or something. Or, you know what I mean? They do some. Our opposition like to do these things to keep people away, but people can still listen in the archives, can't it? Can't they, Tommy? That's the thing about it, Kel. They don't seem to realise that we still have the archive shows.
Yeah, I agree.
Which we like very much, don't we, Kel?
If I could put
and,
a word out as well, guys, if you get an inbox from somebody on your friends list saying to check out this video, don't open it because it's a virus. It's a virus that the lefties have created by Anonymous have made. What it is, if you click on that video, it'll go straight into your hard drive. It'll get your pictures, your photos, your Facebooks, your Twitter, and it'll send the same virus to everyone of your friends. I've already had five of them today. Say, check this video out. And it's a repeating virus, guys. If you get any box like that, do not open it.
Well said, Tommy. Yeah, that is for everybody out there. Don't forget that this is one of those horrible viruses that, as you say, if you open it, it gets sent to all your friends, and before you know it, your friends have got, they're sending to their friends before you've got a massive, great big virus being spread around, isn't it, Tommy?
That's it, yeah. So I was just looking at my Facebook then. I've just got another one now.
It's good to have Kel here too, because I wasn't sure, because when you called me, I didn't know we'd be able to make it tonight. And I said to speaking to Kel in the chat, and I said, look, I'm not sure if Tommy's going to be able to make it tonight, but I don't know whether the boss man's going to be here or not. And Kel just stepped into the breach, didn't you, Kel? So I've got to thank her for being here.
That's okay.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and I have a really nice song for break at the top of the hour, or the bottom of the hour in your case.
Oh, the bottom, yeah. Oh, that's nice, Kelly.
It's great, though, Tommy, that you're here. It's wonderful to hear your voice, my dear son.
Lost without me internet, Kel. I can't spread my message of racism and hatred, as the lefties like to put it, without me internet. I'm sorry,
God bless you, my son.
We are not there to divide communities. How can you divide a community that's already divided by Islam? How can you do it when you've got people to celebrate equality, diversity and freedom, and you've got another part of the society which doesn't want equality and diversity and wants submission and segregation? Islam is self-segregating. So how can we cause a division that's already there?
Exactly.
It is.
Yeah,
we talk about apartheid. It follows the same route as what apartheid does. They segregate themselves, separate themselves from the rest of the society. And as I say, as we know, some places they're doing a few things, and the men have got to sit on one side, and the women have got to sit on the other. So they're segregated, which people been to them, seen this going on, and walked out. This guy from America, I think he was there. It was atheist, and it was atheist and Muslim or something like that. The thing was all about, wasn't it? Do you remember that, Kel? And this guy said, "I'm not sitting here. I'll see what you're doing. I'm not happy with that." And he walked out. And I think if I'd been, I'd probably so would you, Tommy, and so would you, Kel, who would have walked out or something like that. It's disgraceful. You know, this is our country. This is an Islamic nation, even though they like to think it is. I think that they've won the day. It's, as I say, it's not over till the fat lady sings. And they'll have a few shocks and surprises on the way before that ever happens. It's never going to happen. Never, ever going to happen. So, I've always said it, dream on. Because we will stop you. We're going to stop you in your tracks. Isn't that right, Tommy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And, of course,
no matter where these
people
go, they will be opposed. Like I always said, we're looking around the very top of Scotland, right down to the English Channel, you will be opposed.
Yeah. that's right, Tommy.
Yeah.
I think Kel would agree with that as well, wouldn't you? You know, we
can
no choice
absolutely.
But to oppose these people, have we? You know,
yeah,
they want to bring
absolutely.
About death and destruction. I mean, what we see with this great, crazy, rabid... It's like what they said, this rabid, like Sir Winston Churchill said... Rabid, was it? Mohammedism in a Muslim is like hydrophobia of a dog, you know. And it is, isn't it? What we're seeing is what's going right the way across Iraq, the ethnic cleansing of people, whole people, just being annihilated, killed, separated, killed. Women, 300 of them, being used as sex slaves, and the rest, the men. And children killed. This is it. This is the way that ISIS does its business. This Islamic State does its business, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it must be totally eradicated. This is a cancer in the world. And this cancer has got worse. This cancer is it's almost, the word is terminal, isn't it, Tommy and Kel? It's almost terminal. But there's still time. There's still time to cut this cancer out and to heal the world from this evil that we see before us. As we say, there's always going to be sacrifice. Anything you do for freedom, for democracy, we know our ancestors have fought and died to protect what we speak about on this show, week in, week out. They fought and died. They fought wars. They did. These people that fought these wars, I know now, if they knew what was going on, the situation in the world, they'd be turning their graves. They thought, we've fought these people before. We've been here. What's going on? Why have you let it get in such a bad state? Why have you let it get like this? People got to, once again, sacrifice themselves, sacrifice for the greatness of the goodness of their own, their countries. Once again, after being brought to the forefront. It seems sad that we have to keep fighting these wars, these battles, all the time. Is this how it's going to be for the rest of days, you know, to the time for the universe and spins this out? Are we going to have to fight? Will there be peace in this world? Will there be peace?
No.
We want peace, but we've got to create the peace. We've got to create the stability with whatever way we can do it, because we do like... we like nations to live in peace. We like nations to thrive and to have the benefits of other nations, you know, with ourselves. We thrived before in the past. But over the last few years, with things that's going, we've come to a very dark side of our history at this moment in time. With things that's going on, it seems like wherever we turn around, there's all sorts of trouble going on, isn't there? Okay, one told me. But sometimes it... it does get you, but we know
you'll
that
get that
muscle
right your throat, Jeff.
Yeah, I know, Tommy. You know, it's like when you're talking, and I need to have a cup of tea. And when Kel plays, we got something that Kel's got put by for us for the bottom of the hour, haven't you, Kel? And I'm going to have a drink of tea.
Yeah, whenever you're ready to take a break, let me know. Me and Tommy will play the song for you.
Thank you so much, Kel. As I say, was there anything that maybe you'd like to add to what we've been discussing, Kel? Because it's always nice to hear your opinion on some of the issues that we've been discussing.
Well, I think what I've been hearing is very distressing, what's going on in particular in Israel. And I almost don't know where to begin. I'm going to, after the break, I'm going to come back with an article. But at this point, at this juncture, I'm going to be a little quiet about it. But I will say this vocally right now, is that the Gazan Arabs, what they're doing in Israel is unforgivable. And I think Israel has every right to defend herself.
Yes. Well said, Kel. I mean, you know, my opinion about that has very much a right to defend itself. And people trying to kill your people, lobbing over rockets and you're not going to stand there with your hands in your pocket and say, oh, well, you know, if we throw something back, the world's going to condemn us. They're going to condemn Israel anyway. There's a lot of anti-Semitism around the world, isn't there, Kel? They're always going to condemn Israel for doing that's right for his people.
Well, guess what we found out yesterday, Jeff?
Go on, what's that, Tom?
Dipu Ahad, who is the Labour councillor for my newly found area in Middlesbrough, is actually recruiting people to go fight for ISIS. He put a picture on his Twitter
this
yesterday.
Is a fact, is it, Tommy? This is
a
fact.
It's what came out, because on his Twitter, on Dipuad's Twitter, his actual Twitter account, he put a picture up of some ISIS supporters holding up a Newcastle United flag saying, Toon Army. And when they asked, would he apologise for it, he said no, because after all, they're fighting for what we want, the caliphate.
Well, it's quite obvious that he's, whatever he is, a councillor, what is he, a politician, he needs to be kicked out of office. He needs to be charged with whatever. If he's been recruiting to send these people over to these countries and the people he's sending over are part of a genocidal issue that we've had with what's been going on in Iraq. It's been heartbreaking this week, isn't it, guys? It's been hard. We knew there was an ultimatum, didn't we? I think it was Thursday. We knew that they'd been given an ultimatum. And over Friday and Saturday, almost 400... there'd been 500 slaughtered a couple of days before that, wasn't it, Kel? 500? 500 men.
Yeah.
One by one, ladies and gentlemen. One by one. These people, will you convert? No. You know you're going to die. Or whatever. No. I'm not going to convert. It's not what I believe. Chop, chop. Next one. They done that. Every man. 500 men give up their lives, you know, because they wasn't going to convert.
Yeah.
It makes me feel really upsets me inside to think that these people were so brave, and they their lives was taken from them. There's no need for it.
Something else about this Labour councillor. This was on local news on yesterday night. And it was asked about Dipu Ahad, I don't know if I pronounce his name anyway. It was asked about the grooming in the West End of Newcastle. He yawned and then he laughed. And he went, next question.
Yeah, well, you know what? He needs to be kicked out of office, doesn't he? He really does. What do you think, kill people like him? It's despicable, aren't they?
Go on his Twitter.
Oh, I think it's disgusting, yeah.
It is. It's disgusting.
It's no
but,
surprise.
Hey, Kel, tell you, Tommy.
The Muslim himself, he doesn't see Muslim grooming gangs. All he sees is Muslims doing what Muslims are told to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's a part of their ideology, isn't it, Tommy? Do what their prophet used to do. Rampage across the Arabian Peninsula, gathering the forces, promise the men all the money and all the booty they can get, gradually recruiting and recruiting until it becomes a massive great army. It's what we see with the ISIS bunch now. They've done exactly the same. The first place they took was Mosul. Do you remember this going back a couple of weeks, two or three weeks ago now? They took Mosul. Over in Mosul, there was over $400 billion dollars in there. They took that. They give it to the men, and of course they recruited, because there you go, there's 20,000, there you go, that's for you and your family. Come and join. Of course they join them. And don't forget, you can have as many women as you want. You know what I'm saying? Get on, Tommy. That's exactly what their so-called prophet did, wasn't it, at the times. We're reliving the times of their prophet with these people that's out there. That's what we're doing right now. We're like going back into, it's like a time warp, isn't it, Tommy? We've gone back to...
Well,
like,
did anyone
when,
see what John Rivers said about Gaza?
What was that?
She was interviewing, she's saying, look, why should I cry for the people of Gaza? They started a war, so why should I cry for them?
Yes.
This is a celebrity guy. This is a celebrity. She says to me, well, wait, retract that statement. And she goes, look, I won't cry for the people of Hiroshima. They started a war. If they can't see it through to the end, that's their problem. Why should I cry for a bunch of terrorists?
Yeah, well, my goodness me, that's exactly of what we all say. But there's so many people out there. That's what we call making you feel good factor. Oh, we must support the Palestinians. Oh, the poor Palestinians. And they don't get it, do they? They never will do, these people. You know, it's just the way with them. And it doesn't matter what you say, you'll always be classed as a racist and a bigot, because you know that what Israel's doing is the right thing. They're looking at the people. They are defending the people. I mean, I've said it time and time again. Israel uses its weapons to defend its people. Hamas uses its people to defend its weapons. That's it. You can't. It's more, no clear cut than that, isn't it? And use its own people as human shields. This is what they've always done. This is what these cowardly groups always have done. They don't see through a civilized people's eyes that this is not the way to conduct yourself in any type of warfare, is it, guys? Any type of warfare. It's cowardly. But we don't expect anything more from these people, because it's exactly how they've always done business. But I need to take a break, Tommy and Kel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you do, because we're getting an echo from you, my dear man.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so I'm going to pass it to you, Kel, because I know you've got something specially lined up. And I'll be back in, how long has it last? About 4 minutes, girls? I don't know.
3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. And I think this song is totally appropriate. It's The Keeper by Chris Cornell. And this is exactly what Tommy and Jeff have been speaking about thus far. We'll take that break, give Jeff a chance to call back in, and we'll see everybody back here, as aforementioned, in 3.5 minutes.
Battlefield.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much for that, Kel. Give me time to sort myself out and that. Thank you very much for that tune, and very nice. First time I've heard that before, Kel, so thank you. Hello.
Hiya. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Jeff. That is one of my favorite songs.
Okay,
I knew your listeners would enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Kel. I appreciate it. Just before we went to the break, you said that you was going to expand a little bit on what we was discussing. So maybe we've come to the part of the show that maybe you'd like to expand a little bit on a few things. I know you're a little bit quiet. You do like taping, and then you'd like you to say for yourself.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I've been
very quiet, but I have a few articles here. But I was just wondering, what in particular would you like me to expand upon? Because you and Tommy have been really taking things off. I have things out of Canada. I have things out of Israel. Like, it's amazing what's going on in the world. I am so heart sickened. In Israel in particular, if you and Tommy will indulge me, I'm very, very put out with how the ceasefires keep going on, for example. Like, I lost track of the ceasefires, Jeff and Tommy. I think we're up to 10 or something right now. But one thing that Hamas did this week is that they refused the last resolution. And this is, I'm going to put the link in the chat room. This is, thank you, Hamas. Thanks for rejecting a ceasefire proposal that would have given you nearly everything you wanted. This is amazing. Hamas and their time-honored tradition. Hey?
It's the one, the thing that they didn't accept was giving up their weapons or their missiles or anything like that. Is that what they refused to do, Kel? Was that what it was?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was part of it, too. But, Hamas has a time-honored tradition of never missing an opportunity to miss an opportunity. They turned down a great peace proposal, Jeff and Tommy, that should have never been offered to them in the first place. Hamas, they rejected the comprehensive 11/11 clause long-term ceasefire proposal on Saturday. Like, wow. Egypt had warned that this proposal would be its final effort to secure a lasting end to the Israel-Gaza conflict, but they rejected it. Now, I'm going to read from Breitbart News. Now, according to details leaked by Egyptian newspaper Al-Sharuq, the 11-clause proposal contains several key concessions to the Palestinian delegation, including the opening of border crossings between Israel and Gaza, the elimination of the so-called buffer zones, along with the Israel-Gaza border, the extension of the fishing zones to 12 miles off the Gazan coast, and the assistance of Israel and the Palestinian Authority in rebuilding the infrastructure in the Gaza Strip. This could have been quite a fait accompli, and this might have been a proposal, but no. What the Gazans decided to do was say no. So they're still stuck in 1967. Now, when you read about Khaled Meshaal, he is, the Hamas leader there. When you read him or listen to him on Western television, North American, European, this is what he says to us. We are not fanatics. We are not fundamentalists. We ask for tolerance, for coexistence. But then, when you get the same person, Khaled Meshaal, in speeches to the so-called Palestinians, I call them the fails, he says, Palestine, from the river to the sea, belonging to us and nobody else. before Israel dies. It must be humiliated and degraded. You know, now, this guy absolutely refused this proposal. The proposal also called for negotiations to resume after a month of quiet, at which time the issues of a seaport and airport in Gaza would be discussed. Egypt has warned that its latest proposal will be its final effort. Israel Radio reported that on Friday. Final effort. This guy is throwing everything away, and so there is no ceasefire in sight. Now, we have a Hamas spokesperson. His name is Osama Hamdan, and he said the Egyptian proposal did not meet the needs of the Palestinian people. And, of course, that's quote-unquote once again.
Great.
Yeah. Another member of the Palestinian delegation, his name is Bassam Sahli, said progress was being made in the negotiations, but put the chance of a long-term ceasefire agreement at no greater than 50%, and this is according to UNET News. The armed military wing of Hamas, the Izz-ad-Din al-Qassam Brigades, tweeted the following message on Saturday night, Jeff and Tommy, vowing to continue the struggle, and this is their Twitter quote. We are continuing our struggle. Allah is our goal. The Prophet is our leader. Jihad is our way. And death for Allah is our most exalted wish. Like, this is
disgusting. So continuation of the conflict continues. It doesn't matter. They can talk. At the end of it, they do what they've always done. Always reject things that would benefit the Palestinians. I'm not going to call them Palestinians. I'm going to call them Palestinians because that's what they all are. It would benefit for them.
Yeah.
But they reject everything. Every time Israel puts its hand out there for friendship and peace, it gets slapped in the face.
Now,
I hope the world's listening to us because Israel, you know, has gone all out to do everything possibly to resolve the situation. But as we know, these people just glorify in martyring their people, using them for their greater cause, because that's what it's all about. All they are is fodder. The people, children, women, the men, everybody is fodder to Hamas. They all go to benefit their cause.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is the way it will continue till hell freezes over, ladies and gentlemen. You know, they reject everything because... Sorry?
Yeah, Tommy, exactly.
Because when you look, I mean, when Israel was formed by the UN, the Palestinians, I've said in inverted commas, would have the majority of the land... And Israel would have a really, really tiny bit, very, very small bit of the land. And they were happy with that. And what did the Palestinians do? They invaded it. They wanted the rest of it. So Israel had to defend itself. And yeah, they did take the majority of that. And no wonder they have to basically have the occupation, because these peoples want to kill them.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, you've got to do what's right. You know, either just sit back and let them roll over you, and kill you, your families, and your children, and everybody else in your country, or you fight back. And that's exactly what Israel's done.
Oh, Jeff.
And you know what? We've all said it, that the rest of the world should have looked at what Israel, because Israel is leading by the front. All they have done. I've heard their prime minister say, look what we're doing. This is going to happen to you. Look around. If you think it's not going to happen, it will happen to you. We are the front ranks.
We've
been fighting this. They've all said it. Whatever prime minister they've had, haven't they, Kel? Well, they've all said that this will be your fight. Take it from me. They've warned us and warned. It's like Churchill. It's like Great Pit of the Past, the Rivers of Blood speeches. These people pre-warned us, and people poo-poo them, ignore them, and we are living the times that they were predicted would happen. Right now. We're seeing it. We're seeing it in Iraq. Convert or die. This is what they say. See it all over the papers this week. Even the papers are pulling in.
You know what?
Now.
It's not. You know what, Jeff? In northern Iraq, it's not even convert. It's we're going to simply kill you. This is what's going on there with this movement. And Tommy, in a moment, I want you to expand on the Intifada movement because I want to share this, Jeff and Tommy, with the listeners. I'm kind of doing roughshod here, but I'm so animated. I'm so upset about what is going on. And this is Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. He calls for the next Intifada. And he says, "We will never recognize the usurper Zionist government and will continue our jihad-like movement until the liberation of Jerusalem." And this is from INN, in that Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas Fatah faction, often touted internationally as a moderate alternative to Hamas, has declared its intentions to further increase its terror attacks against Israeli citizens. There is a new video, and ladies and gentlemen, I put the link in the chat room. Please bookmark that for later, because there's a lot of information in this from Bare Naked Islam. A new video released to YouTube by Fatah's military wing, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, declares the unity of Fatah's various military branches and announces a recent decision to strengthen Fatah's military activities. And this is as demonstrated by the armed presence in Gaza. Fatah's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade has reportedly taken an active part in the terror war being fought against Israel from Gaza, joining Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and other terror organizations against Israel during Operation Protective Edge. And we know that as Israel protecting herself. In Judea and Samaria, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade have likewise declared open war on the Jewish state. While there have been a common perception globally that Abbas Fatah is somehow more moderate, Tommy, this just drives me crazy. While there has been a common perception globally that Abbas Fatah is somehow more moderate and accessible as a peace partner than Hamas or other alternative groups, Fatah has been open about its goals to destroy Israel. The group just last Sunday falsely claimed to have murdered 11,000 Israelis and has called for the ethnic cleansing of Jews from Israel. And I think Tommy is probably in the best position to explain exactly what they mean by the Intifada.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Tommy?
I don't know. Just trying to get back to the chat, to the studio. It's shown his... Oh, no, he's dropped. He's dropped, Carol.
Oh, okay.
Just him. But maybe you'd like to expand a little bit. You're doing so well there, Carol, and it was really... I know our listeners was taking that all in, and thank you so much about it. You've done so well there, Carol. Maybe you'd like to explain a little bit about
this. I think this is really important to explore, Jeff. We might get Tommy back in a few moments. But Tommy is very well-versed in the Intifada, and that's why I really wanted him to expand on it. But I'll do my rudimentary
best. He's more upset than what I am, to be quite honest with you, Carol. I know, you know, I've heard it's often been talked about, but... it's always nice to know that someone's done a little bit of studying about it, and this is something that I haven't done on this account, girl, which is quite unusual for me, because I normally do make a study on things, but this is something that I've I've heard it being used. I've heard the word on many occasions, but I've never known what it really meant, to be honest with you, Kel. Maybe I'm a little bit ignorant there, but I should have done a bit of delving myself. But maybe we can, I don't know, Kel, Google it up, so check it, see what Google says.
No, this is very, absolutely, Jeff. But this is really important for the kafir and the infidel to understand, the intifada. And that is, it's an Arabic word. It literally means shaking off. But it's translated into English as uprising, resistance, or rebellion. And the same word in the construct
correct.
State. Yeah. Yeah. It
uprising.
Should not be confused with the, it should not be confused with other pluralistics, as it were. It's a term for popular resistance to oppression. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the infatata. Yeah.
So are we seeing this across the world, then? Is this what we're seeing? With ISIS, as we say, they're a lot more, or ICE, which is the Islamic State, they call themselves. They cut it short, didn't they, for what they was originally called. It used to be called ISIS, but the main leader said, no, it's an Islamic State. So wherever they go to, they class that as an Islamic State. They're not going to name it anything. It's going to be just an Islamic State. Like what the Caliphate says, girl. You know, everything should be
absolutely.
Islamic. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they are bent on the Caliphate. But the Infatata in particular is very, very dire to Israel, because the first Infatata was actually in 1987, and it took place in the West Bank, and that was along the Gaza Strip, in Israel. And the result was the Madrid Conference of 1991, and it eventually ended up with the Oslo Accord. Like the first Infatata, or the first Palestinian Infatata, it was also known as the Infatata or Infatata Noé, and it was a Palestinian uprising against Israel occupation of the Palestinian territories, quote-unquote. That lasted from December of 1987 until the Madrid Conference in 1991, and there, through some dates, its conclusion to 1993 with the signing of the Oslo Accord. The uprising began on the 9th of December that year in the Jabalia refugee camp after a series of escalating actions and deaths of Palestinian and Israeli citizens, and tensions reached a boiling point when an IDF truck struck a civilian car, killing four Palestinians. Like, the Infatata has been alive and well. They're reviving it. Jeff, we're in a bit of trouble here with the Infatata. It's more bold, it's more dangerous, and we're losing people. Israel is at a critical point at this point.
Well, we've said that it was building up to a crescendo, and I did say that there will be a point where they would declare an all-out war on the infidel, the kuvar. Basically, you're seeing that take shape in Iraq now. If Iraq loses control of the country and the IS steps in, and this is what Cameron said today, which maybe sit up and listen what he said. And he said that if people think that it's not going to affect us, he's actually saying, and it's the first time that I've heard him actually say that it's going to affect us all, us in the UK, especially, because they've got about I think there's between 500 to 700 fighters in this country, a part of this IS, what's going on over there. Think these people who come from these shores are committing horrible, despicable acts, ladies and gentlemen. British citizens with passports are over there decapitating the Christian people, doing what they've always threatened again to do over here. At this moment in time, ladies and gentlemen, they're in Iraq doing the most despicable acts. burying women and children alive, beheading people left, right and centre, cutting children in half, actually cases of crucifixions. This is how it depicts in the Quran, in the Hadith, how they do it. You know, crucified, cut one hand off here and the foot off here. And this is exactly how they are doing the business, isn't it, Kel? The stories is no different than what we would read in the Quran, how they went about their business. You know, chop people's heads off. The thing that they didn't have in the Quran is burying people alive. Something going to come, but this must be a new thing that they've interjected into doing. It just breaks the heart, Kel. These are innocent people.
Well,
they've got no
just
guns.
When you think they can't reach... Yeah, exactly, Jeff. Just when you think they can't reach new lows, they do. Like the absolute depravity of IS and the Islamic State, formerly known as ISIS, they just seem to reach total new low levels. They're beheading children, and there is a rather infamous photo. Yeah, there's a rather infamous photo of what is going on in northern Iraq, and that they're executing people alive. They are taking Yazidi peoples, and which is a sect outside of Islam. They have lived. The Yazidis is a very, very old religious sect.
They are very, very old.
And they're living on the side of a mountain, but they're going in and they're taking the children. And there is a rather infamous photo. I think people have seen it, of a little boy that has been shot to death. And there's a photo of him before he is shot. And it's horrifying. And he's sitting there. And this photo, Jeff, this photo really sat with me in my mind. It really disturbs me because, well, I'm a counter-jihadist, as are you. And we have to deal with this every single day. And we think that we become inured to this, but we never do. And I looked at that photo, and I realized that I was looking at something that was so profound. That one photo was taken probably 3 seconds before this boy was shot in the head by three AK-47s. And it is shocking to me, the new lows that IS can come to. And this is what they're doing to the Yazidi people. This is they're literally living on the side of a mountain. They're starving to death. They're freezing to death. The children are dying of thirst. It is just amazing. 150,000 Yazidis have been driven from their homes, and they are sitting on the side of Sinjar Mountain. Like, this is the depravity of this is Islam, ladies and gentlemen. Please make no mistake about
it. It's inhuman. It's barbaric, Kel. Let's call it what it is. It has no place in a civilized world. These people are barbarians, and in a civilized world that we live, they have no part of it. And the world should stand up together. We should totally slap them down. They should know that that this is unacceptable in a civilized world, what we live in, that these people, what they do, will never be justified, and they will pay a very, very high price if they want to go about doing the genocide, what they're doing, against innocent people, women, children, and men. Unacceptable. Using women as sex slaves. There's 300 of them that's gone missing. 300 women that they're using for sex slaves for their 20,000 hoard of theirs that they've got. Well, I think it's probably a little bit short, because they've been bombed and that. They've been dropping a few, you know, the drones have been very busy. That's all I'm going to say, Kel. Don't expand too much. Thank goodness that we've got drones that can take people out. It saves pilots' lives, I would say, if you pinpoint people where they are. And we've got the RAF, we're flying one of our modern, it's like a Nimrod, but a late edition, up to really high spec. It's pinpointing where they all are, the little groups of them, and hopefully for future engagement, and these people will be totally annihilated. I do believe this is what's going to happen. They don't need any other response. You do not try to make peace with people like this. These are total barbarians. They want your death and your destruction. You are in their way, ladies and gentlemen. The only response is take them out of the picture, totally. We want peace.
Oh, absolutely. Peace and Jeff, if you want to keep on the thing, theme, did I say thing? If you want to keep on the thing of what's happening with what's going on with the men, women, and children, and
it's breaks your heart,
what
what
IS is doing. I have a soundbite here if you would like me to play it. This is just absolutely horrific. Here,
I don't know how bad it is, but just to pre-warn, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we know that what we play and do, it's for your purpose, just to realise the situation and the plight of innocent people in the world. They're going about their business and being told, you know, within the next 24 hours, you're going to either convert or die. But as you say, as Kel was saying, in some cases, they don't even give them that option. They just kill them. And this is what has been happening. So with that, Kel, I'll pass it back to you. And thank you, Kel, for the soundbite.
Absolutely, Beth. And like Jeff and I were discussing, this is the depravity of the Islamic State, and this is what they do. And Jeff and I are going to play a sound clip for you right now.
It is a desperate scene replicated across the Sinjar Mountain, the persecuted spanning generations, their bodies testament to all they've endured at the hands of the militants in recent weeks. But for these Yazidi women and children, some relief. Kurdish forces bringing food, aid, and hope of survival, even as news of a massacre resonated beyond these people. An Iraqi minister claiming 500 from their sect were slaughtered by IS fighters. Women and children buried alive. 300 females kidnapped to be used as slaves by the militants. Claims which have shocked and only added to international calls for action.
La France a demandé et obtenu une réunion spéciale du Conseil de sécurité des Nations Unies.
France has requested a special meeting of the UN Security Council on this matter, and I myself have called on the EU so that we all condemn the Islamic State and visibly show our solidarity with the Iraqi people.
That solidarity manifested itself in what is now a global effort to deliver relief. The French foreign minister was in Erbil to oversee his country's distribution of aid to thousands of displaced Iraqis. His visit coming hours after Britain made its first humanitarian aid foray. RAF C-130 aircraft dropping water, tents and other critical supplies to stranded refugees. Assistance alongside the US military campaign designed to stop the march of the Islamists. Planes and drones delivering further assaults to the fighters of the Islamic State. But their PR machine continues to taunt President Obama. This their latest show of force. And the truth is the militants are still making advances. There is nervousness now as they encroach further towards the Kurdish capital, Erbil.
We are not only fighting a terrorist group, we are fighting a terrorist state that is equipped with the best weaponry.
Many men in the city have sent their families away and are stockpiling weapons preparing to fight. They are afraid. But so too are the many Yazidis, Christians and other minorities who fled to Kurdistan to escape the militants, only now to wonder if they will have to run again.
And Jeff, that is horrifying. This is the Islamic State.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, I knew the numbers were, I think within this last week, over 900 of these people, men, women and children, have been slaughtered absolutely horrifically.
ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing an open genocide. The world needs to come together and take serious action against these people. Because, as David Cameron said, it will affect us if we can't just turn our backs on this. Of course, these people want world domination. And they're going about doing it every way they possibly can. And we do know, going through the history, this is exactly, we think it's barbaric what they're doing. But they've been doing this for centuries, Cal. Look what they've done to the Sikhs. Look what they did to the Hindus. Millions upon millions of people, ladies and gentlemen. This has been going on for 1,400 years plus. Slaughtering, genocide, ethnic cleansing, whatever you want to call it. These people do it on mass scale. In fact, now, let's not forget that Hitler consulted the great Mufti, what his name was, about how to dispose of the Jews at the time. Don't forget that they very much relish in what they did. Hitler had, as you know, a Muslim division. He had a Muslim SS.
Oh, of course he did. Yes, that was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. The Grand Mufti was approving everything he did to exterminate the Jews. Absolutely. Islam has always been there. It goes on today. They're doing it to Christians. They're doing it all over the planet, and they get away unfettered with it today. I do not understand why our respective governments do not condemn this. We know what Islam is doing.
I think they're bent on
destroying us.
Yes. I think that they've 2 minutes. I mean, I've heard one of the ministers actually say that this is a civilization. You know, this could cause problems with civilization thing, which I did mention Friday. What's his name?
Yeah.
Michael Hammond actually spoke about it. Now we're having David Cameron actually coming out and saying what a threat these Islamists are. Yes, he's woke up as well, because this is a serious, credible threat. How many times must we do these shows and give the world a warning? Come on, people. This is our time. This is what they're trying to do, destroy our families, our homes, everything that we adhere to, everything that, you know, all the good things in the world. They want the total opposite. This is a very dark, this is a dark situation with people. It's almost something like from hell, isn't it? Hell on earth is causing the situation. This is what they are, basically, aren't they? Like a Satan's spawn, because there's no humanity in these people. You can't have any humanity in you guys, putting people, burying people alive, cutting people's heads off, cutting babies in half, crucifying people. They relish this. This is the bloodthirsty, like a pack. It's just a pack of rabid animals, aren't they, Kelly? This is what they are.
The thing is that IS is engaging in a new depravity of fear, in that they are taking children, they're beheading children, they are cutting children in half while they're alive. This is the new level of fear that they're instilling. They're totally taking the Assadis and making them an example, in that we will have our caliphate. They have moved into Iraq. They've certainly moved into Syria. What worries me?
Well, they spread over from Syria and moved their cancerous tentacles, which they created this. It was at the time when it was coming through Syria. Then they changed to move on to Iraq, become IS, didn't it? The person who's leading them said that this is an Islamic State. We don't want to call Syria and this, that, and the other, because it was a part of Syria, the whole name meant. He said, no, this is an Islamic State.
So whatever it does, whatever, you know, things it takes over, and become a part of the caliphate, the ummah, as we say, this is what it's all about. And of course, yes, I'm glad that David Cameron's actually met. In fact, he's been condemned roundly by the church because of the Christians, because of the plight of the Christians. And maybe he knew that he had to make a stand, because it does seem that maybe possibility, Kel, we could see a crusade being called for, which we've often talked about.
Well, we are in a crusade right now.
We are. But we are on a crusade. Yeah, I mean, it's not classed as a crusade as such. It's not been ordained as a crusade as such. We know
it has not been ordained.
One of us.
I don't think this present pope will grant us.
That's what I'm saying.
Our crusade, because we need the blessings of the Vatican to engage in a formal crusade, and this present pope will not grant it.
Well, I mean, I think it might come very close to him as well. This is the trouble with some of these people. This is the only time they take notice, when it's affecting them, when it's affecting, the Vatican, and it's right there. This is the only time that he would call for a crusade. Maybe we need to do it. But he'd do it at the last moment. But the time will come when he'll have no choice. I mean, as you say, Kel, we know we're in a crusade. We have been in a crusade for 1,400 years. It might have gone a little bit quiet, had its quiet periods, but Islam's been doing its evil thing all the way through history. We've seen its evil work with the Sikhs, with the Hindus, and other good people around the world that's fallen under the trap of Islam. And we see, look at Nigeria, all over the planet, what it's causing. We still don't know what happened to those 200, 250 schoolgirls. Some of them escaped, others sold, but it went very quiet. There's bigger news coming. We won't expand too much on this. They went on for a couple of weeks, and then it's gone quiet, isn't it, Kel? And it should never go quiet. There's families out there want to know where their kids are. You know, what's happened to their children? They're probably, a lot of them have been married off, or God knows what's happened to them. It's absolutely horrific. But this is Islam, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we don't have, in fact, every day, Islam puts itself under the spotlight itself. We don't have to do it. People like myself, who host a radio show, doesn't have to do it, nor does Kel. They do it every day. They're under the spotlight. They thought they'd have a quiet run through. He said they put the story out. Islam is a religion of peace. We are a religion of peace. We don't want any issues. Look at the two faces, guys. Look at the whole thing. This is it. The two faces of Islam. Now you're seeing the true face, not the face, the funny, the smiling guy who waves at you, this, that, and the other. No, you're seeing the true Islam in effect. That's what they're seeing, isn't it, Kel? That's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. And I put a shout-out in the chat room because I couldn't remember the current pope's name, and I thought it was Pope Francis. I wasn't too sure. Bigfoot, thank you so very much for validating that. Yes, Pope Francis, he will not offer us a formal grant to engage in a crusade. And the pope before him was Pope Benedict, and he's the one who washed the feet of Muslimas in prison, and he was absolving them of their sins, as it were. The last two popes have been totally ineffective. I really miss Pope John Paul II, in that he declared that Islam was an entity that had to be tread carefully. This current pope, he will never grant us a crusade. And I
No,
yeah.
Well, the
very,
people,
very
as
disappointed
you say,
in that.
It is, as you say, Kel, it's very disappointing that we've got a person, this person doesn't want to actually go to the stage of calling a crusade, but it's really, really wanted now. This is the time where you think anybody in any position of the church will be calling for it, so people can actually stand up and do the right thing. And to know that the good Lord's on our side anyway, you know, and it's going to become down as a religious that they've turned into a religious hatred thing anyway, and they have done for a long time. It's all about religious hatred. They hate anybody else that opposes Islam, that has opposing views to Islam, that isn't that is Christian, that is Jewish, that is Buddhist, that is Hindu. It's all these different sects of people out there. Anybody that's views are different than Islam are the kufar and infidel. And, yes, they want you dead. They don't want you to exist. They don't want to live peacefully side by side by you, know.
Absolutely. And it's not only within the Vatican and the Catholic Church. It's within the Anglican Church. Rowan Williams, he is the Archbishop of Canterbury. He said that Islam is reviving British values. Like, my goodness.
Oh,
like,
my God. What planet is it? Is it, you sure it's, or what planet is he they placed him on?
I have no idea where our Christian leaders are coming from, Jeff. I swear. Rowan Williams, he was giving a speech at the annual Living Islam Festival in Lincolnshire at one point, and he discussed what British values were and how Muslims could affect them. He said one of the greatest gifts to Britain has been bringing back open, honest, and difficult public discussion. He was asked, Jeff, if he thought Islam was restoring British values. And this is what he said. He said, yeah, he thinks that they were. And, oh, my gosh, if Tim Burton could be here right now to see this. In Birmingham, he's seen local parishes and a mosque combining together, like providing family values. Like, Jeff, this is just disgusting. And ladies and gentlemen, for full disclosure, I'm an Anglican, and I'm ashamed of my archdiocese in declaring this. Jeff, this is terrible.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as we know, that they aren't naive, and of course they are appeasers. And the other word comes into it. We mustn't forget the word dimmies. Dimmification, I would call it, as they get this dose of that, and we'll make them happy that they won't want to, you know, we'll keep so they don't cause any problems. You can't appease these people. What's the matter with these people, Kel? Don't they get it? It doesn't matter how you appease these people. They want you dead. You can appease them as much as you want. They still want you dead. You're a kufar. You're an infidel. My goodness me. Why are people so stupid, Kel? They really put the capital S in stupid when some of these people make statements. I wish they'd just shut up and not even say anything. That's the best way. But this is what really annoys me. It's the total hypocrisy of these people. They just, you know, just don't get it. Or they should study. They should listen to this show. Come listen to the show. Listen to some people that understands what Islam's all about and what it wants to do to you, what it wants to be. It wants to be a dominant factor throughout the world. And we be nothing but slaves or dead. There you go. When are they going to wake up? What are you going to have to keep banging them on the head?
Well, I think the only time they're going to wake up is, we have to wake up the masses, and this is why we have these radio programs. We reach out one person at a time. I have been fortunate in that I'm a bit of a loudmouth, and I've had people challenge me, Jeff. I've had people challenge me.
I'm a bit of a shrinking violet,
tweet.
I am, Kel.
Yeah. Oh, not you, Jeff. Yeah, you're no shrinking violet, that's for sure. But I've had people in my chat room challenge me, and all I have to do is explain very empirical facts. And that's all we do, ladies and gentlemen, when we do these radio programs. We explain empirical facts. And we are non-negotiable. You cannot challenge us because you only have to do your own homework to find that we are indeed speaking truth. We don't make things up here. We don't lie to you. We tell you what's going on, and we share with you, and we apprise you, and we engage you. That's what Jeff does on EDL Radio. That's what I do on RFB Radio. This is what I do on Radio Jihad Network as well. This is us speaking with you in a very, very familiar way and hoping that you will do your homework like all of us want you to do on our respective radio programs. Jeff, one by one,
you know what,
we are
they don't even have
winning.
To do their homework now because it's in front of them. They've even broadcast it on the TV what's going on now. That's how bad it is when they're actually talking about it. You know how things really are bad when you got it on the newspapers speaking about a genocide going on. And this is how bad it's really got, that they can't keep quiet anymore. That they've been suppressed for so long. They've got to say something. It's only right. So, you know, people now really don't have to worry about homework. I mean, anybody wants to study into the Quran, into the Hadith, and what they're all about and what they want to achieve, please do. I think anybody will know now that what we've talked about, what we've been talking about, you know, in the English Defence League, the organisation, and many of us, which before I was speaking about the what it was all about, you know, before the EDL, that, you know, it's right there. That what they're trying to do is totally horrific, and it does affect the civilizations. And every one of our countries will be affected. You know, this country alone, and I know Canada's got it, I know America's got it, a lot of the westernised world, we got people, you know, people that have got British passports, just fighting, that's doing these heinous crimes against humanity. And you know what, Kel? I would say that these people should never, ever be allowed back. Doesn't matter about their families crying over. Well, let them stay where they are, you know, and hopefully that they will be eradicated like the rest of the cockroaches out there as well. You know, that's why I look at it. No way should they be allowed back. Their status of being a British citizen should be taken away. Their passports burned, so they never, ever return to this country again. That's the way I look at it. And any assets they got, anything they've had to do with, and that's including their families, should be all affected by what they do. And I would say, if I was a politician and I could change things, that's exactly what I'd do. I'd make it affect them all. You know, whatever family ties they got, go right in. And if this is going to affect you and every one of your family, what you're doing now, they're going to feel effect. We're not going to accept this. You know, what's going on, you know, it's horrific. My goodness, but Kel, I'm going to say, we are really getting down to the line.
We are down to the last 8 minutes, yeah.
Goodness.
And
we lost Tommy earlier on, which is very sad. I think he's got an internet issue.
No, Tommy usually drops off during the second hour because his cell phone just goes on him.
Gotcha, yes, Kel. But once again, Kel, I've got to thank you for being here and in my time of need and someone to,
hey,
you know,
my pleasure, baby. But you know what? What we should do is that we should thank everybody that joined us, and that's Bigfoot,
yes.
Army of British News, Jan and Dave of Christian Defense League, Eric Kyle. We had numerous guests. Porky Steve. We have Silky Silver. Smokey of Texas. Smokey Stinger.
Yeah, Smokey.
The Blood. And Sweet Sue from New Mexico joining us in the studio. We've had people pop in and people pop out, Jeff. It's been a great show.
It certainly has, Kel. And do you know what? We have got a few minutes. I know we've got a caller. And I know this is Jan Rennie from the Christian Defence League. Jan, it's going to be quick. Welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you,
Go
Jeff.
Ahead.
And it is very quickly because I know it's the end of your show. I've just heard from Paul Alexander. He's actually ringing me on Skype now, but I'm ignoring him. We have both had terrible problems tonight. We just cannot get into the EDL chat room, into the program. We're getting blocked by something saying Java. We've both got Java. When we agree to take this other Java on, it's coming up threat detected and just blocking us altogether. But I'd like to say,
thank you so much for being on the show.
I'd also like you, me and Dave would like you, Jeff, at some point to come on with you and Cal. It would be great, you know, like old times. Having said that,
Jeff, I'd be honored to join you and Dave with Jeff and myself. Absolutely.
Thank you. That would
great.
Be great. We'll
it's good to
Dave.
Have you here tonight, Jan, as well.
Thank
as I
you,
say,
Jeff.
We know we're down to the bar, but it's always good to take your call. And
I hope
you had a great show earlier, by the way. Well done, Jan and Dave.
Thank you both, and Tim and Dave, of course. I'll get off now. Have a good night, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Catch you straight later, Jan. God bless you. Thanks for your call, Jan.
That's wonderful, Jeff. And you know what? What I'll do for Jan and Dave is that when the CDL show comes to archive, I'll ensure that I get it on the CDL website for you, Jan. No worries there. Jeff? We're done.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's over.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm here, Kel. I was waiting to just let you continue what you could say. But I'd like to thank everybody. I'm sorry that that Jan and, Paul Alexander's had issues tonight, this show. Sometimes there could be powers be that's trying to stop people getting into the show. But guess what, guys? You know there's always archive shows. So, yes, I know Paul Alexander loves being here. He's been here. He's here time after time after time. It's just
Paul
sad that tonight.
Paul Alexander is like our best buddy. He does so much work behind the scenes for
he's
all of
fantastic.
Our shows.
He
certainly
does, Cal. Sam, I'm so sorry to hear that a few people have had issues tonight, but hopefully that can be resolved. Next show we do, maybe that's all been ironed out. We'll see. But anyway, it's been, as I say, once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege, my honour and privilege to be here with and having Kel beside me and our Tommy. And I think it's been a very interesting show tonight. Very topical, very much what's going on at this moment in time. We'll be back again this Thursday with, had a few, what's been going on, what's going to happen with this, once the countdown, the ceasefire comes to an end. Is Hamas going to start firing rockets again? Is Israel going to respond in kind in a big way? Is it going to be invaded again? These are questions that we'll be seeing over the next few days, and maybe we can be discussing come this Thursday. We've always got something to talk about. This show, isn't it, Kel? And it's your show as well, Kel. Don't forget, we're very topical.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over the map. Everybody knows where to find the Red Fox Blogger. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, Effie. She's here. She's there. She's every bloody where.
She's everywhere.
She most certainly is, with her own great shows, her and her very own Tim Burton, with the Red Fox blogger show. And of course, she does the Infidel. Oh, my God, Kel, come on, give a quick shout, because we've got
Radio Jihad Network.
That's it.
There you go.
In Southern Sense, and I am going terrestrial with Annie of Southern Sense. We have five networks picking us up next month, so I'm going terrestrial.
Absolutely.
Now.
Awesome, Kel. Awesome, and to say,
I'm scared. I'm scared, Jeff. Hold my hand. Actually, it's going to be a you know what? It's going to be Sue for New Mexico. I'm going to be speaking with her and saying, Sue, hold my hand. help.
Oh, yeah, you got no problems whatsoever. Anyway, Kel, once again, thank you so much. Everybody's listening to the show. What has been able to be able to get into the chat room this evening. Thank you all so much for being here and supporting the show. Kel, all the great work you do, slides, this, that, and all the good stuff that you do. And, of course, Tommy, one of our foot soldiers on the ground, puts yourself in the front lines. God bless you, Tommy. Anybody, I've just had that lady whisper in my ear, you've got 90 seconds, big boy. Okay, darling, I know I've got 90 seconds. And I'm going to delay now from myself, from Kel, from Tommy, from the team, from us all. Take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. And don't forget it from us all, from the team, no surrender. No surrender ever. And we're going underground.
Ever.
Very much. Good night, Kel. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Kel.
Good night,
everybody.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. To buy New Zealand pencils for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say if you've got some going on in the ground. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been up already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your back. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader and the place you're trapped. And the lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Signing off for the night tonight, and we'll see you all again this Sunday. Good night, guys.